So I'm Nikki.
My name is Ava. Let's start off there. I really love making Lego. I think top five is basically us going into a variety of topics, really.
Do anything but let it produce joy.
I'm trying to get into swimming because I'm actually afraid of water.
Like, I think for a long time, I was like, I need to find a thing. That's why I picked up roller skating.
We are not podcast people at all.
Welcome to Top 5. Today's episode is Top 5 Ways to Keep Your Dreams Alive. Ava, we're all about fives, as you know. So I was wondering if you could give me 5 things that you're grateful for.
I think number one is obviously going to be, I'm grateful that we've got this opportunity to be here in Brisbane right now recording our first ever episode. Number two, the breakfast we had this morning.
It was good. It was called Muse.
Muse.
Under the bridge.
It was lovely. Yeah. But you had a really nice matcha.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Yeah. And then I had a lavender latte. Didn't taste like lavender, but it was wonderful. I'm really grateful for that. That's my number three.
Nice.
Oh, wait, like number two, whatever we're on.
Number three.
Fourth, I'm actually grateful that we got into an Uber when it was pouring to get here.
Yeah.
That was really good.
You know, a bit silly.
Number five. Our Uber vouchers. Really grateful that we got our Uber vouchers. Mm. Yeah.
I'm grateful for last night we got home and our apartment is so beautiful and we were just like people watching. And then Ava put on the TV and she came across, it was just free to air TV. Who watches that anymore? It was like unfamiliar territory for me. I was like, wow. And there was that guy doing that shark documentary and I just had the best time watching that. So grateful for free to air TV. I am really grateful for, we have the most amazing windows in our hotel. Maybe these are superficial, I don't know, but sometimes being really present where your feet are, I find is like really important, particularly in moments like this where things can be overwhelming. Mm. So I just like, we walked in and it was just the most beautiful kind of window I'd ever seen. It was so nice. And I'm really grateful that we got here on the plane safely. I've been on planes that have had to turn around before and it was very anxiety inducing. So anytime I 2 feet back on land, I'm like, wow, that's a real achievement of science and of human development. So very grateful to be here in the physical sense. I loved our dinner last night. We had the best beef last night. That was so good. It was really, really good. And right before we went to bed, we were like, okay, let's just kind of go over what we want to say. And, you know, they always like find friends that like make you belly laugh, but like had the best laugh last night. And I think I just went to bed so like relaxed and prepared for today.
Okay. I think we just have to do it now. Yeah. Let's get into the episode. This is Top 5 Ways to Keep Your Dreams Alive. And I think this is something that we're really excited to speak on because it's so personal.
Yeah.
This is something that we always ponder on, maybe ponder on a bit too much.
I think the scary thing about dreams, right, is they're in your heart and they're in your mind. But in order to actually make a dream come true, it's got to be out there. Mm-hmm. You've got to actually do something in the real world. And that, I think, is what is so scary about making your dreams come true because you risk that exposure and that vulnerability and failure, which is something that we're going to go into, I think, quite in depth here. So I'm quite excited for that. But I'll get into the first one. So the first way that we thought you can keep your dreams alive is to see the forest from the trees. This is a very like lofty quote.
What does that mean?
It actually comes from my high school class. So I was talking to you about this. I took modern history in high school back when I still had a fear of being boring and it was very much a personality trait I clinged to because I loved it. Like it was really, really interesting. And we had two phenomenal teachers and one of our teachers, we were all in the same class and we had this lovely Irish lady who was just so knowledgeable, but we would do this assessment called source analysis. You like look at a text and you say like, what's this text about? But then you have to think about like the broader themes in history, like, I don't know, communism or sources of control. There were a lot. And I remember we took this exam once and we did quite poorly in this one section of the source analysis. And she kind of just got up in the front of the class and she was like, guys, you have to be able to see the forest from the trees. And I remember I was sitting there and I was like, what on earth does that have to do with communist Russia? Like nothing. I was like, you can't be saying these things, miss. Like, come on now. But essentially, her kind of idea was you can't get too caught up in the details. You know, when you're lost in a forest, all you see in front of you is trees. You have to have kind of the drive and the understanding and the motivation to sort of seek that higher ground, to see where those trees are in relation to each other. And with your dreams, when you feel lost, like I know last year, I just felt like I had no dream or that I had no direction. On those days when you feel really quite stuck and like you can only see the next day in front of you and it looks exactly the same and as sad and as empty as the day before, you have to be able to see that one day you will wake up and you won't feel like that anymore. And it's the small steps that you took to get to that higher ground.
Yeah.
To understand
it. It does take a lot of courage to get yourself from the ground to the higher tops.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, really. So doing the little things does get you there. So maybe the dream being undefined is actually a good thing. You're doing these small tasks or small achievements, small goals, maybe creating new connections. And then that gets you kind of on the roll. And then that expands.
Yeah. It's a momentum thing,
right?
It's
a momentum. It's a momentum. You have to generate that momentum. And it does come within you. You have these dreams in your heart, in your mind, in your body. It's everywhere. It fills you up. But the way you put it out is what makes those dreams alive. Yeah. And it takes a lot of courage. So I think that's something us, people, listeners have to accept.
And that sense of like being lost or not knowing what your dream is. Like me, for example, I changed my major 3 times. And for someone who was always so, I have to have a plan, I have to know where I'm going, that was terrifying.
Confusing.
It was really, really scary to go to a class and be like, I don't see myself doing this. What do I do? You know, and a lot of people, I think, feel that when they start something that's outside of high school. I mean, you go from this structured environment where everyone's telling you when to eat, where to go, and all of a sudden the world is yours and you think this is some like great gift. And then you're like, oh, the world is mine. Like that's my responsibility now to create that life for myself. And I really, really felt that quite heavily and put a lot of pressure on it. And if I hadn't allowed myself to feel that lost, and if I just told myself like, no, this is the right thing, I would have ended up doing something that wasn't authentic to me. So in the same sense of like, you know, you have to see the forest from the trees, you have to also appreciate kind of where you are and just kind of think, okay, I'm lost. How do I go about this in a rational way? What are the next steps? A lot of people drop out of uni. So fine. You know, it's not for everyone. But I think a lot of the time, sometimes people feel that feeling and they're so afraid that they feel like they're lost in that forest that they would rather just leave the forest altogether and not really think about it than to kind of just traipse through and find that mountain, that higher ground without sounding like on my high horse, because it's still a journey, right? Like I'm not there yet. We don't really know what we're doing.
No, I'm still on the lower branches. I'm still climbing.
Yeah, but we're climbing. That's the point,
we're
right?
climbing.
We're climbing.
Kind of reminded me of the quote, you have to be lost to be found.
Yeah.
So yeah, being in that sense of being lost is really uncomfortable.
Mm.
But then that's an opportunity for you to learn more about yourself. And then you kind of find who you are or what you want to do or where you want to be. So yeah. You have to be lost to be found.
Yeah.
Should we move on to our second point?
Yeah.
So our second one is face the beast. Now you might be thinking, what on earth does that mean? And who is this beast? But Nikki is going to give you a really beautiful analogy that she also learned in university.
Yeah. So there's this really amazing book called The Beast in the Jungle, and it's by Henry James. And it's about this man who spends his whole life waiting, essentially, for what he calls the beast. And he knows that it's going to be some life-changing event. And he doesn't really know what it looks like, but it consumes him. The waiting and this anticipation consumes him. And he won't allow himself to fall in love. He won't allow himself to truly live a full life. He doesn't share this burden with anyone. He carries it very close to his chest. And it's not until his very close friend, who was the only other person in the world that knew of this anxiety that he had, died, that he realized that this beast and this whole kind of thing that he was so worried about facing was in fact his waiting. And he had created the beast himself. And that beast had been created by the fact that he refused to act. He was too afraid to act because of this potentially life-changing event. And in that, he essentially kind of wasted his really, really precious time. Life is precious. It's a very difficult book to read. This does not come out in the text at all. You have to like Google it to really understand what it's saying. But this, when we were talking about ways to keep your dreams alive, this really struck me as something that was quite relevant, because I think a lot of us create this beast, our fear.
Yeah.
And our waiting for the right time.
Exactly. A lot of people, especially in our generation where life is so uncertain and difficult right now with like financial costs and everything, we fear failure.
Yeah.
We fear being different. We fear change. And those fears kind of restrict us from doing what we want to do and what we love.
Change, failure, and being different.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the cost for us now in this generation where, like you say, economically, this is a very, very challenging time. People don't have time or money or energy to waste because you have to be working and you have to be, you know, the things that you're doing have to be making you money.
Mm-hmm.
We also live in an age of the internet, which means if you are different or you do something embarrassing or you do fail, it doesn't just happen and the world moves on. It's there. So often
people
there's a record.
People scrutinize you for it.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying putting yourself out there.
Yeah. So do you feel like the cost, I guess, or those feelings, that fear, that change, that failure, that kind of putting yourself out there, do you think it's exacerbated in this generation? Is that a selfish thing to say? Because I feel like my mom would disagree. She'd be like, no, every generation feels like that. But
I'm not trying to invalidate the other generations, but like the thing is, for example, let's talk about university. The degree you pick when you're 18 or 17 years old, you're going to pay $4,000, $10,000, however much it is for like a year. And you're going to think, oh, I hate this. It's like that pressure. Like, oh, I've already done a year. I've paid this much. I need to keep going.
But it's not cost
something, fallacy. It's something you don't want to do. I don't want to do it. And I'm kind of in that situation as well right now.
Yeah.
But then you fear the change. Oh, what if the thing I choose and then pay more money for is not my time or like something I want to do? There's so much uncertainty in life.
And I think we carry that burden perhaps a lot more than our parents' generation did. You know, there was Gough Whitlam and there was kind of that period of free education where people could get degrees. And even if they weren't free, they were a lot cheaper or kind of paying off that debt was a lot more achievable. We don't have that kind of opportunity and that freedom in the same sense. And I had the exact same anxiety that you just described last year. Arts degrees are really, really expensive. They are 30% more expensive than your science degrees. Like my semesters alone last year together were $14,000 without any indexation, nothing applied to it. We can't afford to take these risks in the way that perhaps generations before us could, because the cost of failure or the cost of embarrassment or the cost of being different feels a lot higher. And I think that's not just a feeling. I think it's a reality.
Exactly. So what are the three things? Failure, being different, and fear of change.
Yeah. How do we have those fears and not waste our time like the man in the story? Like how do we, you know, carry that and acknowledge that, but still choose to act, you know? Again, we always say like your dream is just a dream until you act on it. It's only in your mind until it's out there in the world.
See, I would love to say just do it, but then those three things are going to follow you, that failure, that being different, that change. I think accepting the fact that those three things will follow you, but still doing it and being in the present, not really overwhelming yourself with what's going to happen in the future, which is easier said than done. Honestly, like I think about the future all the time.
Yeah.
It's inevitable to think about the future.
Yeah.
Being in that state of fear and fearing that failure is restricting you from doing what you want to do, what can be beneficial in the future and what you love. I feel like if you don't act on it, you've kind of already failed yourself there. Being in the waiting is actually, I think, more detrimental than actually doing something. Because then when you do something and you realize that you don't love it or it's not working out for you, that's that self-growth, that self-discovery that will benefit you. And you may feel like, okay, I've lost all that money. I've lost my time. I've lost my motivation because, you know, we do get burnt out from repeating the cycle multiple times. It's really hard because I know a lot of people are not able to do these things freely because of that burden of financial costs and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if there is really a solution, but being in the present and accepting it is what it is.
Yeah.
And not being afraid of acting on it. Facing the beast. Don't fear failure, because if you wait, you're failing yourself.
Yeah.
You never know until you try. There we go.
Face that beast.
Face that beast.
It's really important. So number three to keep your dreams alive
is to regroup and rebuild.
Ava was playing Minecraft on the plane here. This will be relevant in a second. And I just thought that that was hilarious. She's built an airport with her boyfriend. It's fantastic. And there's random dash hounds, like giant dash hounds in it.
That's me.
And I think, isn't there something so interesting about the concept of Minecraft that its whole thing is building? But it's one of those games where it feels such connection to what you create that when it does get burnt down, it's pretty devastating. So talk to us about this, Ava.
Okay, let's start off with the little Minecraft analogy. So imagine you're building a house, right? And it's this beautiful house. You've put so much time in it. And all of a sudden, a creeper just comes up and blows it up. That's a big blow, literally.
And this is why I play on creative mode.
Yeah. Yeah. Put on safe. Yeah. So basically, in that moment, you're going to be like, wow, this is awful. How am I going to move on from this? I have no house. I have no resources. I've got nothing. And you're just in that state of, I hate this change. I'm uncomfortable. What do I do?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know the layout of the house. You know where to get the blocks from. And actually, sometimes when it blows up, your resources are still there. That's what I love about Minecraft. you have those resources is what I'm basically trying to get at. You may feel like you're so lost and you have no way to recover from the situation. I'm making this so deep and it's literally about a creeper blowing up a house. But you have those resources. You have those past experiences. You have people who can help you regroup and rebuild. And who knows, maybe the thing you rebuild is actually better than what you had initially. So looking at it in a different perspective really influences the outcome. Because if you're going to be in that negative mindset, you're going to create
no house.
You have no house, literally. Yep. But if you are like, okay, the creeper just blew up my house. This is what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to build the house better, bigger, and safer. I'll build a gate so no creeper can come in. Or I'm going to make it out of concrete so it doesn't burn down instead of wood. You know, you learn from it. That's what I'm trying to get at. Resilience is being able to adapt to change, but also benefit from it and gain things out of it. You know what I mean?
100%. I think something that's really interesting about the analogy that you chose is that you don't have any control over the creepers. None of us really play life in creative mode, you know, unless you're Brad Pitt. Like, we don't have those kind of just resources at our fingertips. So we're all in survival mode. You have no control over what a creeper does, in the same way that you have no control over when you get rejected for something that you apply for and you're not on the application committee, you know. You have to learn to kind of embrace that lack of control. You know, you have to build a house with the knowledge that creepers are around. But when that rejection or that redirection, I think redirection is a nice way to think about it. But I also think that redirection, sometimes it means just rebuilding the same thing because mm-hmm. you have so much trust in what you're creating. But you have to kind of come to terms with the fact it's not in your hands, but what is in your hands is how you respond to it.
Yeah.
And I think that Minecraft is very much about that because it is, like you say, it's a building game. And you're not actually starting at square one. It's not the same as when you spawned and you don't know where you are and you haven't found your footing on the map and you can't see the forest from the trees. It all ties in. Crazy. There are forests in Minecraft. But yeah, it's really about you don't lose that. You're not at square one.
And kind of finding comfort within the discomfort.
Yeah. Which is, again, easier said than done.
Easier said than done.
Have you ever experienced a rejection or redirection perhaps that led you to this analogy and this conclusion?
I have. So end of high school, I applied to medical school. And I didn't get an interview. That was a big blow. That was my creeper. It blew everything up.
Yeah.
And it was awful. It was a really uncomfortable experience for me because I put so much of my time studying, also time into community service and extracurriculars. And I was just thinking, I did all of this. These were my resources. I did all of these things and they haven't been put to use. That time has been wasted. But then that perspective, when I apply again, which is this year, I've got those past experiences. I've got those people I've met along the journey, like you. You're a very big person in my life. All of those things come with you. Don't think you've lost it in that moment. You haven't. They are there with you, sometimes physically, sometimes mentally, emotionally, whatever it is. And they help you rebuild. They help you regroup and you can rebuild. And like you said, you're either redirected or you're going to stay on that same path. I was actually stirred off. I got kicked out onto a different path. I was like, okay, I have to study physio now. But physio, that made me learn so much about myself. I met some really amazing people who are helping me on this journey. And it's made me realize what I actually want to do when I get into medicine. So that redirection can also lead to the initial path you were on, but stronger.
Love that.
You know what I mean?
That was like, beautifully put, yeah. It wasn't initially what you wanted, but it's still given you something amazing. I remember when you first went into physio, there wasn't much discussion about you going into med. It was kind of something that you had left for a little bit. I think you needed that space. I think often when something happens and we face that rejection, that distance between ourselves and that thing that's kind of taken away from our self-worth or believing that we're good enough, good to take some space. But once you kind of build that confidence back up, you'd had some other kind of achievements that had sort of provided you with some self-confidence, you came back to it. And like you said, you came back to it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that, A, was amazing to witness because I know you have it in you and anyone who's met you would know that you have it in you. But also because it was just the way that you did it was just really like quietly, you just did it by yourself and you just took the time that you needed to get there. And I thought that that was really amazing. And you're taking that risk again. And I think that it's going to pay off eventually.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah. Rebuild your house, girl. It's
rebuilding that house.
It's going to have crazy windows this time.
You know what that was reminding me of when you were saying that? that distance I took, I feel like I had to lose myself to find myself again. And I actually came back with aligning with my values more. I don't think when I applied initially, I knew why I was doing it. Maybe it was the pressure from my parents telling me go into a degree that is a high job security. Maybe that was it. And you don't want to go into medicine or any degree doing it because someone else is telling you to do it. But then I took that time, I lost myself, and I found the values and the reasons and the why, brought it together, I regrouped, and I was like, hey, this is it. Let's apply again. And I had that fear, I might fail again, I might get rejected, but I didn't let that stop me. Tying back to our second point, if you're going to wait because you're afraid, you're already failing yourself there. So I'm going to apply again this year, see how that goes. If I don't get it, I don't get it. I'm going to regroup again and I'm going to rebuild.
And that's because you know it's the right thing for you.
It's the right thing. Yeah. I feel so much more aligned with what I'm doing. I feel like this path I am on right now is more directed than what it was.
You're going to rebuild that house.
We're going to rebuild that house. So let's move on to the fourth one. This one is ride the roller coaster. Do you like adventure parks?
We did a tour to Japan in year 12 and I got peer pressured into riding this roller coaster and it was like the fastest like hanging roller coaster. You know, the ones where your legs hang out or whatever.
Oh.
Got off and threw up and I've never really lived that down. So not a huge fan, but I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So to all my friends who have studied homeostasis, think of a fluctuation graph right now.
Just for all of us that haven't studied homeostasis, what is that? Short, brief.
Basically, right now, just imagine a graph with a horizontal line and a linear line. And then within that graph, just think of a line going up and down and up and down and up and down.
Like a roller coaster.
Like a roller coaster. Exactly. That wouldn't be a fun roller coaster, though. That fluctuation graph, what we're trying to get at is that growth or a journey is never linear. You're going to have moments where you're at your peak. You're going to have moments where you're at your rock bottom. And then you're going to be at those moments where it's just kind of static and just the same. That's the boring part, really. But sustainability is the key. So there's bounds within a fluctuation graph.
I think the way that you described it to me was you can't obviously peak beyond the graph in the sense of like, you know, there's only so much we can achieve in this. I can't fly, you know, so you have to have realistic expectations of this sustainability.
I can't swim.
Yeah, you will learn to swim. But in the same sense that like often your rock bottom is kind of, there's one kind of point and you know what that feels like and what that looks like. And it's kind of once you've hit that point, you can only kind of go up from there and you kind of learn that that's your bottom and you learn what it feels like to be flying high, you know, feeling really good about yourself and like really aligned with your values and what you're doing and things like that. So I think that was the way that you described it to me, essentially, was it works within those bounds, but that very rarely are you at either end of that kind of scale.
And then this is where the roller coaster comes in. When you're at the top and you're going down, it's going so fast. And you're just going down, 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 down. You're fearing it, really. It's a terrible place to be. It's a terrible place to be going down to because maybe you've experienced it before. You're like, I can't do this again. Or maybe you haven't experienced it before and you don't know what to expect. It's so uncertain. But the thing to remember, though, is when you feel like you're going down, you've got all of these experiences with you. You've got these people. You've got
that momentum.
That momentum. All those things are coming down with you. And that momentum is what's going to bring you back up. It's really important to remember that. And also staying in the present. You have to experience it, really, is what I'm trying to get at. Mm.
So there's no stopping a roller coaster.
No, there's not.
Once you're locked in, unless it breaks down, which is not what anyone has.
I don't know who the operator is. God?
Some Maya being up there. But yeah,
I am.
100%. You have to experience those lows to then reach that point of incline to get back up.
So what we're trying to get at is those, your past is giving you that strength and that momentum to bring yourself back up. You don't lose it on the journey.
Yeah.
It comes with you.
And when we talk about sustainability, I suppose what we're kind of getting at there is when you are setting yourself goals and dreams and timelines to achieve them and, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly steps that you need to take, however you're kind of planning it out, you have to take this into account. Like, life is not perfect. Things are thrown your way. You are put on a track that maybe you didn't know you were going to be put up. There might be a dip that you didn't see in the road coming. That's how it works. When you are trying to achieve those goals, do not put yourself under such pressure to be at your peak all the time. What you really want to aim for, I guess, is just a nice, steady incline. And you want to be able to take those dips, but have the resilience and have the knowledge that you're not alone to make those dips kind of as gentle as possible, you know? Mm. And when you are in one of those really big ones, holding on to that knowledge, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling like the forest in the trees, holding on to that knowledge that it goes back up, it will get better. And this ties into things like your mental health. Like if you're not sustaining yourself mentally, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not those good habits and things like that, then it's going to be a really bumpy roller coaster because you're just going to be working at your absolute best when you have all that energy. And the minute that you use that up, you're going to have nothing left in the tank to keep you going. And that's when it's going to be quite scary. Mm-hmm. So I think explaining it as a graph is really interesting because when you're looking for homeostasis, are you looking for something that's quite constant? Not too many dips and troughs? Is that kind of the idea? That's my
understanding. Yeah, hopefully, or else you'll end up in the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're kind of saying is like you're aiming for that homeostasis state in that graph. You kind of just want that steady progress without feeling that pressure to be going really fast, really high, really quickly. So I don't know. That was kind of my take on what you were saying with that graph. When you're on that roller coaster and you're feeling out of control, how do you recenter yourself?
I control things that are in my control.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. That's a really good point.
My physical activity. That's in my control. I want to reach my 1 hour of exercise a day. I have study to do. I have work. I have other extracurriculars like volunteering. I've got so much. But sometimes you can take time out of the day just for yourself. This is something I think I really need to hear and what others might want to hear. Be selfish. Take that time for yourself. You don't constantly have to be spending all your time with your friends. Sometimes if work is getting too much, and I know this, you know, it depends on your job and whatnot, but like I worked at Kumon. Yeah. My manager was very lenient. She was a very wonderful lady. She let me take that time off if I needed it. I do this thing when I'm studying. I'm like, I'm not allowed to go to the gym until I finish this. And then I never finish it. And then I never go to the gym. However, what I am starting to do now is, okay, at 1 o'clock, I'm going to stop studying. I don't care if I haven't even started, if I haven't even finished, or if I'm midway through, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to take that time for myself. Because putting other things first and not putting yourself first as a top priority is actually quite detrimental.
Yeah. We call it selfish, right? But if you're not taking care of yourself and you're not being sustainable in the way that you go about life, you can't actually show up in the places that you want to show up with the same kind of attitude, energy, drive, motivation, whatever you want to call it, that same positivity that you can if you just take the time to put things in perspective, to take your time with your goals. You're not going to be able to show up in your goals if you're doing it in a way where maybe you'll reach the goal and you can't even appreciate it. You can't even appreciate that you got there because you've just put so much into it. Like, you know, I think about my job. I love my job. But if I am not taking the time to balance my studies and my work and, like you say, my exercise and spending time with my friends, I can't show up authentically and I can't do my job very well. Like, you need to take that time. And it is selfish in the sense of like, okay, you're picking yourself over other people. But in the long run, you're doing everyone around you a favor in the sense of like, you've taken that time to really come back to yourself and you're being sustainable with your time in general, which is really important.
Yeah.
Occasionally the roller coaster is a bit static or it's just kind of, it's a bit flat. It's a bit boring. A lot of life is really boring. I think it was Oprah Winfrey who did a podcast on this recently, actually. She was like, I think our generation, because we're such a instant gratification kind of generation, we love a reel, we love a TikTok. We're so kind of wired to be having that kind of constant entertainment novelty all the time. We struggle with the flat. We struggle with the days where you just have to show up and you have to do the things that allow you to, you know, go on that incline in your goals and to actually kind of, you know, the roller coaster normally starts flat. To even get on the roller coaster in the first place, you have to be taking the time to, you know, if you want to go to the gym and get rock solid abs, you know, there are a lot of days where it's just going to the gym or just eating really, really clean. That's just kind of how it is. And I think we struggle with the static. I've definitely in my past been like, oh, this is a boring day. So it's a bad day. But you have to embrace that as well.
Being present in that moment really helps.
Yeah. And we've talked about being present a lot.
A lot.
Another one of those things.
Be present.
Roller coaster's short. Life's short.
Life is short.
So ride it and enjoy it. Like, yeah. I mean, obviously, we're not expecting you to have like overwhelming positivity in that moment where you're at the bottom and it feels like you're going to die or you're going to vomit or you pass out like me. But, you know, for the most part, it's really fun. And you don't want that ride to end and for you to be like, wow, I didn't even take it in.
Yeah.
So that's really upsetting.
I was doing my CPR training a few weeks ago and the trainer said this really beautiful analogy that not only did I take when I might do CPR in the moment, but also just like in any situation in life. For example, you're on a plane, the oxygen masks fall down. Hope that never happens to anyone.
especially because we're on a plane tonight.
You know how they always emphasize, put on yours first and then help out others? Same with the life jackets. Put on your life jacket first, then help out others. Because if you don't put yours on first and you're helping someone put their oxygen mask on, and then it's like, okay, you're safe. Go, go, go. Jump out, whatever. Then you don't have the time to do it for yourself. Like, you're putting yourself at more harm by doing that. But if you put on the oxygen mask first, or put on the life jacket first, and then, you know, you're safe, you're in a good position, then you are able to help out more, like others. You know what I mean?
Like, I think this is interesting as well, because at the end of the day, you're the only person who knows what you're going through. And you can't expect people to know that you don't have your own life jacket on. If you're not being honest or vulnerable and you're saying, look, I'm really stressed out, my life jacket's not on, I'm struggling, I'm drowning a little, I'm Ava in the pool right now, I'm having a rough time, then people are going to ask you to do things, and they're going to ask you to put their life jacket on, and they're going to ask you to do a project, or they're going to ask you to hold up the group work at uni. And it's not until you're honest and you say, I have to do this for myself, I have to finish this assignment. This happened to me the other day. I was like, I have to finish this assignment before I can contribute to this group project. Because until you're vulnerable about that, until you're honest about it, you're going to be flailing. And they're going to be wondering, where's my life jacket? Why isn't the work being done? Why is no one helping me? That kind of thing. The minute you're honest with yourself and you're like, okay, my jacket first. And the minute that you're honest with other people, then they'll see, okay, they're just putting their life jacket on. They'll get to me next. It's exactly. Important. That perspective is important as well. And I guess that's in a literal sense, like, you can watch someone not have their oxygen mask on. So it's not the same thing. But in life, you can't see what people are dealing with behind the scenes.
For sure.
Again, that empathy as well. If there's kind of signs that someone isn't doing the work or isn't showing up in the way that you would expect them to, ask. Say, like, are you okay? How are you going? Because they might just not even realize that they haven't got their oxygen mask on.
Yeah.
You know, and they might just need someone to say, hey, like, just take a moment. Because that's also important as well. It's like, the minute you see it in someone else, recognize it and just see if there's anything you can do. Have that kind of, that empathy and that kind of space for them as well. You know.
Have you heard about the AAA rule?
Vaguely, but give it to me.
You've got 8 hours of sleep.
Yep, it's a lot of sleep.
8 hours you're at work, whether that's studying or actual job, and you've got 8 hours for yourself.
Isn't it crazy when you divide it up like that?
Can I be really vulnerable right now?
Yeah, I'd love that, actually.
My 8 hours that I've got to myself, okay, this is kind of scary to say, but 3 to 4 hours of that is me on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing on there. Instagram.
You don't have TikTok, do you?
I don't. I deleted
Neither
that
of us have TikTok.
Because that was really bad. That was 7 hours. Yeah. I was like, that's not healthy. Hearing it, 7 hours my day I'm spending on my phone looking
at
reels.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but then you divide it in that 888 and all of a sudden you've spent 1 hour showering and maybe eating your dinner is part of that hour. So really, how much, what have you done? Nothing.
Nothing.
It's really scary.
If you don't take time for yourself, you're not going to be fully present. Mm. That ties into our fifth point.
It does.
Which is?
Apply yourself and then apply.
Apply.
This is the only one that's not like some vague artsy statement. To kick it off, basically, I've grown up with a brother who I know has fears. Like, he definitely does. But you would not know it from the way that he goes about the world. He is just one of those people who works really, really hard. And then he realizes, okay, I've done the work. And then he puts himself out there. And I, particularly when I was younger, really, really struggled with this. I would put in the work, but then I would be like, oh, not really sure. Like, maybe I can work a bit harder. That opportunity is not for me. I'll just let that one by. Someone else will have it. It'll be fine. If you're doing the work, and look, no one's perfect. No one's doing all of these things all the time that we've talked about. No one's resilient all the time. But if you're doing the work and you're showing up and you're being consistent, you're maintaining that kind of sustainability, don't be afraid to recognize that you've done that work and then to actually put yourself out there. It's like the last, sounds silly, but it's like the last but the first step of really achieving that dream. Because as we said, you can be doing all the work in your room studying for med. If you don't apply, you're never going to be a doctor.
No.
So I guess our kind of like theory with this is do the work, because the work is important. And very few people, maybe the odd lucky person gets someone without doing the work, but your average Joe has put the hours in.
Having that belief in yourself.
Yeah.
It's really important to drive change and to build up that courage. If you don't have it, or that little spark, I don't know, it's just, it's easier said than done. A lot of the things we're saying, easier said than done.
Yeah.
But just believing yourself is the very first step. Doesn't matter what other things. Having that confidence is key. And it's hard to constantly have that confidence because there are going to be external things or even internal things that shut that confidence down. But to regroup, rebuild, brings that confidence back up. So yeah, believe in yourself.
Number one, see the forest from the trees. Number two was face the beast. Number three,
rebuild and regroup.
Number four, was ride the roller coaster. And number five is apply yourself and then apply. Now, if we'd said those to you at the start of the episode, you would have been like, what are these two people on about? You know now, when something like this is coming up, you can kind of say, okay, I'm riding the roller coaster. Well, maybe I need to face that beast or...
enjoy the ride. Enjoy. It's literally a loop-de-loop. Think of it as a roller coaster and a loop-de-loop. And then there's like this and that. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we should set some homework.
Yes, homework.
Yeah. We would love to reflect on a time when maybe you've faced a beast. Ava and I have kind of talked about some of our own personal experiences. Take a moment as we're kind of ending this podcast to just think about a time you faced the beast, a time when you felt really lost, a time when you've really, really needed to regroup and rebuild and you've done it successfully, or maybe you haven't done it successfully and you think, maybe what can I do next time when I have to regroup and rebuild to do that better? We would love to hear from you.
At top.5.podcast.
Five being the word five.
Five, yeah. We would really love to hear some of your experiences, and maybe in the next episode we can definitely
give you some claps for working hard to make your dreams come true and keep them alive.
Or maybe even some motivation.
Our next episode is top five things to do instead of scrolling on your phone.